where Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
I am the Good Shepherd. He chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds.
From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance.
With upright heart he shepherded them
and guided them with his skillful hand.
But we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever.
From generation to generation, we will
Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts, the 20th chapter. Now, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonments and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The second reading is from the Revelation to St. John, the 7th chapter. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And our Lord, before he rose from the dead, gave this promise: My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. This is our text. John tells us a little bit about the setting for the words that we heard today in the Gospel reading. It was the Feast of Dedication, what we know of as Hanukkah. Jesus was in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon, perhaps a portion of the temple still standing from many centuries before. It was winter. And the Jewish leaders surrounded Jesus, gathered around him like a pack of dogs or a pack of wolves, and they asked, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." That moment to me feels like it is thick with tension. Tell them plainly. Plainly? Like the time Jesus had said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Claiming pre-existence, taking the divine name for himself, comparing himself, making himself equal to God. And you know what they wanted to do when he said those words? They wanted to stone him to death. So that seems pretty plain to me, both what he said and how they responded. Or that other time, right after feeding the 5,000, when they wanted to make him a bread king, he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven. The bread I'll give for the life of the world is my flesh." And you know what they said about that? They said that was a hard saying, not because it was hard to understand, but because they thought it was hard to believe. So many turned back from his plain words and no longer walked with him. "I told you," Jesus said, by which he means that he told them openly and clearly, "and you don't believe." And you know, he's right. He did tell them, told them plainly at many times and in many ways, and still many don't believe. But that wasn't all. He told them in other ways as well, "The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me." What works does he mean? Well, there was a man lame for 38 years. Maybe you remember that one. 38 years lame. Can you imagine? A man waiting for a miracle, waiting for an angel to stir the waters in the pool of Siloam, waiting for something, waiting for anything. And then Jesus came and told him to take up his mat and walk. And he did. He got up. He rolled up his mat, and he walked right over to the Jewish leaders, and he said, "Jesus healed me." That seems pretty plain. And there was another man, a blind man, blind from birth. It wasn't that this man had sinned. It wasn't that his parents had sinned, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. And Jesus came. A little spit and a little mud placed on his eyes, a little wash in the pool, and Jesus made new eyes that see. The man born blind saw. And you know what he saw most clearly? He saw that Jesus came from God. He even told the Pharisees, "Look, how could this man have done this if he wasn't from God?" Did they believe? In their blindness, they cast him out. The Jewish leaders don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, even though he has said as much plainly with his words and with his deeds. "You don't believe," Jesus said, "because you aren't part of my flock. But there are people who believe. The man who'd been lame for 38 years, he believed. The man who was blind from birth, he believed. They believed, they listened, they followed, they belonged to his flock. They were his sheep. We also want plain talk from Jesus. We don't want to be kept in suspense, and that's okay. But I do wonder, are we ready to hear him? When he speaks plainly and clearly, will we listen to him? Will we believe what he says? Because sometimes we have a way of making Scripture more complicated than it really is. And I say this as one who is guilty as charged. What he says is plain. I don't mean that every verse is completely clear, but what God wants us to know from the Scriptures is plain. And yet we make it nuanced, and we make it qualified, and we make it convoluted. And instead of listening what he has to say, we want answers to our questions. Instead of listening to what he has to say, we try to make God's word fit with our beliefs. Instead of listening to what he has to say, we twist his word to rationalize our actions. You heard what St. Paul said, warning the Ephesian pastors as he was passing by, headed toward his death, knowing he would never see them again. He warned them that wolves would come who would twist God's word and try to deceive and mislead them. Too often, when it comes to God's word, we want to be the shepherds, and we want Jesus to be the sheep. We want him to follow where we lead. Just consider a few topics and things that we hear about in the Scriptures. I'm not going to lay out exactly what they mean, but I think they are clear, and I think you know as well as I do. What does God's word say about life? About abortion? About male and female and marriage and sex and motherhood and homosexuality? About the love of money, the lust for power, the desire to be approved? About how we are to love God and our neighbors? Well, it's complicated, we say. But no, actually, it isn't complicated. I will grant you this, there is something that's complicated. It's not God's word, it's our lives. Our lives are complicated. Often complicated by what we've said and done, complicated by the messes we've made. But God's word is clear, and his commandments are plain. St. Paul goes so far as to say in the book of Romans that we human beings are without excuse before God because what God says and reveals is plain to us. This is what he says. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. In the things that have been made. In other words, St. Paul says, plainly there is a God, an almighty God, an almighty God who created the heavens and the earth, who made you and all creatures, and who gave you your body and soul, your eyes, ears, and all your members, your reason and all your senses, and still takes care of them. There's something that's plain. You are made by God. He didn't make your sin, but he made your human nature. And there's another thing that God's word tells so plainly. Along with the law that condemns us, God's word also makes this plain, that God so loved you that he gave his only son, so that believing in him, you would not perish, but have eternal life. Or as Jesus said earlier in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. The resurrection. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father. If anyone tries to make those words more complicated, you only need to go and ask a 5 or 6 year old what those words mean. They know. Jesus is my good shepherd. And that leads to another thing that is plain from the scriptures. Martin Luther made this comment at one point about the church when he was debating with Roman Catholics about what the church is. He said, "Thank God a 7-year-old child knows what the church is. The holy believers and lambs who hear the voice of their shepherd. For the children pray, I believe in one holy Christian church. This holiness comes from God's word and true faith." So plainly, God made you, and God has redeemed you through Christ, and God has brought you into his flock, the church, for you have been purchased by his blood. Hold fast to these plain things, that you are made by God, created by him. Hold fast to his commandments that show us both his will for our lives and our sin. Hold fast to your Savior, Jesus, who died and rose for you. And hold fast to this, the promise that you are one of his sheep and you belong in his flock. What Jesus said and did that winter day in the portico of Solomon at the temple was enough for the lame man, and it was enough for the blind man, and it is enough for us. We don't need to wait for more evidence. We don't need to wait for more words from Jesus. We don't need to wait for him to do another sign or miracle or work. What we have already is enough, because it is plain and clear. Leap up and follow Jesus. Open your eyes and see clearly who he is. Don't let your unbelief slow you down or cloud your sight. And then hear the beautiful promises of Jesus. Plain promises that Jesus makes for us plain sheep. "My sheep hear my voice," Jesus says, "and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." He states the plain facts about his sheep. They aren't complicated. For their part, they hear him and they follow him. This is what we do as sheep. This is why we are gathered here today, to hear his voice and to follow him. Just like Simon Peter did last Sunday, after he was restored following his triple denial. Just like St. Paul did, as we heard last Sunday, when Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus and called him to faith. And then this is the shepherd's part, the thing that Jesus promises to do, that he makes so clear. "I know my sheep." He knows you inside and out, knows you better than you know yourself. "I give them eternal life," a promise of his gift to you. He lives and reigns to all eternity, so eternal life is his to give. And then he says even more, "They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Here he says nothing about the part of the sheep, but he says only about his own part. It's all promise, a promise from him. "They will never perish because of me. No one will snatch them out of my hand." He is and will be a faithful, good shepherd. He makes that plain. We have his assurance. We have his guarantee. He is powerful to save his sheep, and he is powerful to hold on to his sheep forever. So we sheep are secure in him. Whenever we wonder about our security, especially our eternal security, the only thing for us to do is to run back to the word where Christ speaks so plainly, and to cling to his gifts in the holy sacraments, where he gives to us the forgiveness of sins. You know, a promise is only as good as the one who makes it. A liar who makes a promise cannot be trusted, but someone who speaks the truth, when they make a promise, that promise is good. Jesus' promise is good. It is as good as his own death and resurrection, because he laid down his life and he has taken it up again to secure this promise for you. It's all for your comfort. It's all for your help. His words lead no one to despair. His words lead no one to embrace or continue in sin. His words lead us to be sheep, following our good shepherd. So, dear friends, poor sinners, weary souls, don't turn back into yourselves. Don't look back in your own hearts for security. Don't listen to or follow your own desires, but listen to him and follow him. For he tells us plainly, I know you. I give you eternal life. You will never perish. No one will snatch you out of my hand. Why not? Because my Father, who has given the sheep to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Don't keep us in suspense, Jesus. Tell us plainly who you are. He is one with the Father. He is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, and he is also your and my good shepherd. And for that, the Jewish leaders picked up stones again to stone him, but the lame and the blind and all us plain sheep, we follow our risen, plain-spoken shepherd. We follow him into eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their need. Heavenly Father, in your name, your Son purchased us with his own most holy blood, and he now leads us through the gate of death to our eternal home with you. As the sheep of his fold, inspire us to hear his voice gladly and to follow him steadfast through every tribulation. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, shepherd of souls, your servant Paul entrusted his flock to the care of faithful men, urging them to follow him in the way of Christ. Bless your church and her pastors. Instill in them all wisdom, boldness, humility, and grace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, you have provided us with the gift of family. Bless those who have shown us a mother's love and nurtured our lives from childhood. Bless and protect all mothers with child, especially Stephanie Miller, Kristen Gregory, Kristen Hanlon, Melinda Bergeron, Allie Moore, Shayla Moore, and Alyssa Anderson. Be with all who have suffered miscarriage or the death of a child, and those who, yearning for a child, have lived with the pain of this unfulfilled longing. Comfort those who have no mothers, or whose mothers are home with the Lord. and bless the work of all mothers in Israel who teach, serve, and provide care within our congregation. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate Lord, you will not allow any power or enemy to triumph over your saving purpose or snatch your lambs from your hand. Give us wise and faithful leaders who will govern in our land according to your word and defend the lives of the unborn, the orphaned, the widowed, and the aged. Bless all those who make, administer, and judge our laws, that they may not hinder your purpose. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you watch all those in need. Provide care for women, men, and their children, especially for the abortion vulnerable, through First Concern, CareNet, and other pregnancy care and women's resource centers. Guide the staff and volunteers with wisdom. Make them joyful witnesses of your love and help them to see the fruit of their labor. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, you have not forgotten us in our afflictions or abandoned us in our weakness. Deliver the sick and suffering according to your will and give your comfort to the dying, especially to those who have requested our prayers, including Diane and Andrew Albert, Dana Blaze, Melinda Bergeron, Rick and Teresa, Michelle Studlian, Melanie and Terry, Marie, Lisa Crawford, Matt DeBara, Lois Doskasil, Kay Emmerich, Bobby Joe Ewing, John Erickson, Karina Faw, Jackie Gordon, Randy Hunter, Ann Iodonisi, Rosemary Jackson, Ralph, and Ed Pinard. Guard us against despair and grant us patience in the days of our trouble as we await your perfect healing. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord, by your grace, bless all who receive our Lord's body and blood in the sacrament this day. As they receive the same body and blood given into death and raised again for their justification, grant them the joy of the forgiveness of sins and the power of an endless life. Help them by this sacrament to live out their baptismal life, dying in repentance and being raised in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, enthroned in heaven, you gather your saints into the shelter of your presence, making them white in the blood of the Lamb. Keep us faithful throughout our lives and bring us through death to join them in the ceaseless praises of heaven. Lord, in your mercy. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, and most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Thank you.
art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
The 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.